Learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary Ma'am Lois, Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 28. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah be also a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 55, Pasuk 11. Yomom v'layla yisobavuha al chomuseha v'oven v'omel v'kibur. Day and night they go around about her upon her walls, inquisity and trouble are in her midst. From where he stood outside the city, the singer describes the excess of evil in the city, both inside the people and outside. This was not just a temporary condition, but day and night they go around about her walls. Violence and strife are round about the city day and night. There is inquisity and trouble in the midst of her, in the hearts of those who dwell inside her and conspire evil against me. David is also referring more literally to the watchmen of the city. Day and night they patrol the walls around about the city to guard against external dangers. But in fact, inquisity and trouble are in her midst and destroy her from the inside. Some explain that the singer compares the violence and strife to a line that encircles the city. Day and night they go around about her walls. The inquisity and trouble are likened to the point at the center. They are in her midst. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Havois bekirbo v'lo yomis bechovo tochu mirmo. Wickedness, havoc is in her midst, oppression and fraud do not depart from her open spaces, streets. In her midst is havoc and a terrible state. The falsehood and guile they counsel against me do not depart from her streets. Some oppressors will claim that the injustice and iniquity they perpetuate is for the good of the city, but these cannot make this claim. Since havoc is in her midst, falsehood and guile do not depart from her streets. When the masses on the street see what the elite do, they do the same. Thus, he says, wickedness is in her midst. On the part of those individuals, so oppression and fraud on the part of the people do not depart from her streets. Another interpretation says, although the wickedness is within these people, this does not mean that it should also appear in public, but oppression and fraud be in the streets of the city. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Ki lo oyev yecharfeni ve'eso lo misani olai higdil ve'sosir mimenu. For it was not an enemy that taunted me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it my adversary that magnified himself against me, then I would have hidden myself from him. King David goes back to speak of Achitophel. It was not an enemy that taunted me. Achitophel had been David's chief advisor and had loved them all his days until he betrayed him. If my enemies had taunted me, I could have borne it. David says, for the taunts of a normal enemy can be borne. If an open enemy had magnified himself against me, I would have been able to hide from him and be on guard. It is otherwise for a hidden enemy like Achitophel. David addresses Achitophel, you may ask, why am I so angry? After all, I forgave Ben-Gera who vilified me. So why do I not forgive you? My answer is that you were not an enemy like Shimi Ben-Gera who taunted me. That I could bear. Neither were you an adversary like Saul from whom I hid. There is the folk saying, it is harder to bear being pierced by the needle of a false beloved friend than being pierced by the lance of an enemy. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. V'ato enosh ke'erki alufi mudoi, but it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and guide, and my familiar friend. Achitophel, at first you were an ordinary man, until I elevated you to become my equal. Then I even called you my companion and guide and my familiar friend. This came about when we took sweet counsel together. Whenever I had a question about any matter in the Torah, I would come to you for consultation. Nor did I come because you were the only one there. Indeed, in the house of God, we walked together with the throng. There were many sages in the house of study. I deliberately sought you out in order to raise your esteem in the eyes of the Jewish people. Our sages infer from the present pasuk that if one has learned from another person a single chapter of the Torah, or one law, or a single verse, or a single commandment, or even one letter, he's obliged to honor him. Thus we find that even though, as the Talmud says, King David learned from Achitophel only two things, he nonetheless referred to him as his master, his companion and guide, his familiar friend. Draw the evident conclusion. If David, the king of Israel, so honored Achitophel, although he learned only two things from him, then most assuredly when an ordinary person learns from another one chapter, or one halacha, or one pasuk, or one commandment, or even one letter, he should certainly honor him. Honor means Torah, as it says, the wise will inherit honor. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Rabbi Yochanan said, at the outset, David called Achitophel his master. Then he called him his friend, and in the end he called him his student. Thus, he says here, but it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my guide, and my familiar friend. For one, he was his teacher. Then it says, we took sweet counsel together. He was his friend. Finally, he says about him, yes, even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread. Bread is a euphemism for Torah. Spiritual nourishment. In other words, Achitophel was his student. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Asher Yachtov Namtik Sol Beveis Elikim Nehalech Berogesh. We took sweet counsel together in the house of God. We walked with the throng. We would confer with one another. I revealed to you my secret, but I did not understand. By your advice, the secret became sweet and clear in my eyes. My bond to you was so deep that even in the house of God, we walked together as a team. The plain meaning of these pesukim is that David relates the story of their friendship. In the beginning, Achitophel was a man my equal. They were both in Saul's army. David was the commander of 1,000 men, and so was Achitophel. Moreover, he was my familiar friend, a kinsman. On the side of David's wife, Michal, some say, through Bathsheba, and we took sweet counsel together. There was no quarrel between us. On the contrary, we shared secrets, and in the house of Hashem, we walked with the strong together. But now you have turned about to become my persecutor. A subtle interpretation says, David said to Achitophel, why is your hatred of me so great? Did we not take sweet counsel together on secret things? One who occupies himself with the secrets of the Torah must be meticulous in the observance of even the stringencies of the mitzvahs, and he must excel in humility. How, moreover, in the house of Hashem, we walked with the throng. Before every prayer, one should resolve to practice the commandment to love your fellow as yourself. Pasuk is found in Chumash Vayikra. It is indicated that when there is sweetness and closeness between one man and another in matters of the spirit, it is well to keep this private secret. When one goes to the house of Hashem to disseminate Torah teaching, this should be done passionately and in a loud voice. Then Satan will not interfere, and there will be no affliction. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Yisimos Alemo Yerdu Shol Chayim Ki Ro'os Bimguram Bekirbam. May he incite death against them. Let them go down alive into the nether world. The pit for evil is in their dwelling and within them. May Hashem incite the angel of death against them. In a related sense, let death be a creditor to take away their souls. Another interpretation says, may they go down alive into the nether world in a way that will make them forget death. Some say, may Hashem cause death to turn everything upside down, bring about ruin and desolation. Others read, Yisimos as Yossi Movis, may Hashem cause death to come upon them. Let them go down alive into the nether world, that is, die suddenly. They should not be forewarned by prior illness. For evil is in their dwelling and within them. They gather in their homes in Shalim to discuss the evil that's in their thoughts. It's also possible to interpret them Gurum as when they are gathered, as in catch them in their net. Yegorchu behormo, a pasuk that's found in Habakkuk. In their gatherings they plot evil against me. Then again, David says, if an enemy would taunt me, I would answer him. I do not hide when an adversary magnifies himself against me. That is my way with my foes and adversaries. It is otherwise concerning Achitophel. He was a man, my equal, my companion, and guide, and my familiar friend. I will not come out against him. Instead, I will ask Hashem to punish him, him and his followers. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Two Talmid Chachamim who live in the same city are not forthcoming with one another in matters of halacha. One dies and the other is exiled. Accordingly, David said to Achitophel, if I am also to blame for this quarrel between us, I have already suffered exile. As of now, therefore, you have been condemned to die. So let them go down alive in the netherworld, as happened to Korach and his band, who contended against Moshe. However, the truth is that their intention was to incite against Hashem, as Moshe said to the Jews on another occasion, your murmurings are not against us, but against Hashem. Similarly, David says here, for evil is in their dwelling, and within them. It is within them to contend against Hashem, but they conceal it. Pasuk Yitzayin, Pasuk 17. Ani el alakim ekrav Hashem yoshi'ini. As for me, I will call upon Hashem, and Hashem will deliver me. Although they are many, and I am one, I will call upon Hashem, and Hashem will save me from their hands. He calls upon Hashem to punish them by the attribute of stern judgment, and to show him compassion by the attribute of mercy. Because the righteous turn the attribute of stern judgment into the attribute of mercy, David says, as for me, I will call upon Hashem. Hashem is judged, the attribute of judgment, and Hashem, the attribute of mercy, will deliver me. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Erev vevoikir vetzohoroyim osicho ve'emo ve'yishma koli. Evening and morning and at noonday I pray and cry aloud, and he has heard my voice. At the different times set aside for prayer, evening, morning, and noon, men see the day change. When at these times I pray and cry aloud to Hashem, he has already heard my voice. David speaks as if by prophetic knowledge. Our sages infer from here that a person must pray three times daily. These prayers, each at his own time, were established by those men of world stature, our others, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram said the morning prayer, Yitzchak said the noonday prayer, and Yaakov said the evening prayer. Thus David says, because the others have established these prayers at the evening and morning and at noon, I pray. In figurative language, David conveys that he prayed in the evening, in times of darkness and affliction. He prayed in the morning in the time of for deliverance, and he prayed at noonday. That is during the deliverance itself, which is likened to noon, as it says in Yeshayahu, then will your light rise in darkness. The term ehema generally means to produce a subdued sound. It is thus indicated that one should arrange one's prayers to himself beforehand in a subdued voice, and then proceed to pray. As David says, I pray and say in a whisper, and as a result, he has heard my voice. The Medrash says further, let our masters instruct us, how many prayers must one pray each day? Our sages have taught that one is not to pray more than the three prayers established by the others. It says in the book of Daniel that he would pray three times daily, as found in Sefer Daniel, but he does not say at what times he prayed. But David has already explained that evening and morning and at noonday I will pray and cry out, and he has heard my voice. Hence, one is not permitted to pray more than three prayers in one day. Rabbi Yochanan explained this only if only a man could continue to pray all day long. So even though it's only proper to say three prayers a day, Rabbi Yochanan said it would be great if people could daven all day long. There's a story about the Emperor Antonius and Rebbe. How about offering a prayer every hour? Asked Antonius. That's forbidden, Rebbe replied. Why? Lest the man come to act with disrespect towards Hashem. But Antonius did not accept this answer. What did the same thing Rebbe Yehuda do? Early the next morning, he presented himself before the emperor. Hail the gracious one, he greeted him. An hour later, he again entered. O emperor, when another hour passed, he greeted him again. Peace unto you, O king. And Antonius retorted, why are you ridiculing the royal throne? Let your ears heed what your mouth is saying, Rebbe explained. Here you are, a man of flesh and blood, yet you find it insulting when greeted every hour. How much more so that no man should inconvenience the King of Kings every hour. Rebbe Yosef ben Chalafta says, there are set times for prayer, as it says, but as for me, let my prayer be to you in an acceptable time. What is an acceptable time? When the congregation prays, therefore a man should rise early for prayer, for there is nothing greater than prayer. Thus the word Vahama, as an apostrophe, amen, is numerically equal to 57, an allusion to 3 times 19. The Shemoneh Esrei prayer, repeated 3 times each day, contains the 18 benedictions plus the benediction against the heretics. So really it's 19, so 19 times 3 is 57. The singular form of the pasuk alludes to the teaching that even if one prays by himself during these 3 times, he's answered, for the congregation also prays at those times. The Medrash Tilim says here, a man of flesh and blood has a friend who loves him. He goes to him the first time and the friend welcomes him. He goes to him a second time and the friend acknowledges him. He goes a third time and the friend ignores him. Hashem, blessed be He, is different. Each time you impose upon Him, He welcomes your burden. Therefore, cast your burden upon Hashem and He will sustain you. This matter is hinted to and in the present pasuk. Although I cry aloud to Hashem evening and morning and the noonday, I pray and moan, He has heard my voice. Some say that David speaks in the singular form to indicate that when a man is at peace with everyone, he's reckoned with as if he were many. Thus he goes, or to say literally, for the many were with me. That the prayers were set at 3 different times accords with the words of the Torah, and you will love Hashem your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. The pasuk is found, of course, in Chumash Devarim. That is to say, with your body, your soul, and your possessions. With all your heart corresponds to the morning prayer. Morning sleep is sweetest of all, and the body wants to continue sleeping. By forcing oneself to rise for prayer, the person thus subjugates his body to his maker. The time of the mincha prayer in the middle of the day, a person is wholly involved in his business affairs. To set everything aside in order to pray is thus an aspect of with all your might. Finally, in the evening, when the soul longs for repose, for peace and quiet, to surrender one's weary soul to Hashem in prayer is to subjugate the soul to one's maker. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. Pada b'sholom nashi mikrovli ki v'rabim hoyu imodim. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle against me, for they were many that strove with me. The pasuk may be read as a prayer that David offered in the past, redeem my soul in peace from the battle against me, for they are many that strive with me while I am alone. Instead of that strove with me, the Rabim Hoyu Imodi is also translated as they were many that were with me. The interpretation follows, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle against me, for there were many godly angels with me. There were many and I was one. Therefore Hashem helped me. They were many that were with me, many prayed for me, as it says, but of all Israel and Yehuda loved David. David complains against his enemies. Now they haunt him, but oft in the past they fought at his side in many battles. On those occasions he had prayed for them, evening and morning and at noonday, like we learned in the previous pasuk, and they were kept by his prayers. Thus he says here, redeem my soul in peace from the battle against me, for they were many times together with me, and they were saved on account of me. When a man is involved with many people, and he lives in their midst, he's not prosecuted on high. Thus the Shunamish says, I dwell among my own people. The pasuk is found in Melachim base. I am part of the community. Similarly, David says here, they were many with me. My soul is among the many, and I do not separate myself from them. Therefore he has redeemed my soul in peace. When there is peace, every individual prays for himself and for the entire community, and he desires everyone's welfare as much as he desires his own welfare. His prayer is then considered a community prayer, which is more readily answered. It is otherwise when one prays only for himself, and the prayers reckon with an individual prayer. Thus our sages teach, how do we know that Hashem does not despise the prayers of the many, for it says in Iyov, "Behold, Hashem, who is mighty, despises not." And it says, "For they were many close to me." Said Hashem, "Anyone who devotes himself to the Torah is taken up with acts of loving kindness and prays together with the congregation. I bear witness that it is as if he has redeemed me and my children from among the nations of the world." David also describes his own great deliverance. Not only was he saved from death, but he was spared having to confront evil. Then again, David refers to the battle with his passionate nature that goaded him to commit sin. He would say, "Because there were many with me, I influenced many people. Should I stumble into sin, they too will fall. For me to commit a sin is not as for any private individual to sin, who when he falls, falls alone. To what can this be compared? A man who travels in an empty wagon is not obsessed by fear of robbers. It is otherwise when he travels in a wagon that is loaded with every precious commodity." Pasuk 20. Yishma kel v'yane v'yoshev kedem sela asher ein chalifos lomo v'lo yiru elokim. Hashem will hear and humble them, even he that is enthroned of old, sela, such as to have no changes and fear not Hashem. Hashem will hear and humble them. Now they are great ministers at Shaul's side, but Hashem will humble them, such as these people have no changes. They are not prepared to change and repent. The reason is that they have no changes. They do not experience change in their affairs from good times to bad times. Their success is constant. Another interpretation says, "such as have no changes" pertains to his enemies who will not change themselves from being evil to being good. In another sense, these evildoers do not consider the day of their passing, the change from life to death. They are not in dread of the day of death. One of the ways man is superior to the beast is that he can be constantly changing, passing from one level to another. He is born as a wild donkey's colt, as we find the pasuk in Iyov, but keeps changing, passing from one state of reality to a more lofty state. There is a corresponding subtle interpretation of the pasuk. So the superiority of man over beast is nothing, as found in Kohelis. That is, the superiority of being man is that he's born in this state of nothing and can go on from there. He can change to an ever higher state. David complains that his wicked adversaries, on the contrary, have no changes. They do not pass from condition to condition, but remain as they were at the outset. It is because they fear not Hashem. Pasuk of Aleph, Pasuk 21. Sholach Yodov Bishlomov Chilel Bariso. He has put forth his hands against them that were at peace with him. He has profaned his covenant. David accuses Achitophel of having put forth his hands against them that were at peace with him. He has conspired against David, the man of peace, and his adherents. He has profaned his covenant and established with David. Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. Holku mechamo os pi vukrov libo raku devorov yishemen vehema pesichos. Smoother than butter were the speeches of his mouth, but his heart was warm. His words were softer than oil, yet they were they keen-edged swords. The words of his mouth were more smooth than butter. At the same time that his heart pondered waging war against me, his words were softer than oil, when in reality they were keen-edged swords. David also describes the different types of enemies he was facing. One put forth his hands to repel me when I was at peace with him. Another profaned his covenant and his sworn pact with me. Still another said things to me that were smoother than butter and softer than oil, and at the same time his heart was war and his words were keen-edged swords. Pasuk of Gimel, Pasuk 23. Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha v'hu yichalkelecha lo yitein le'olam mot matzadik. Cast your burden upon Hashem, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved David fortifies himself by declaring, cast your burden upon Hashem, and he will sustain you. If you will trust in him, he will provide for your sustenance. He will never suffer the righteous to collapse. Some say that David recounts what his enemies said when speaking words softer than oil. Ahitophel would say to David, cast your burden upon Hashem, and he will sustain you. He assured him that nothing bad would happen to him, since Hashem had promised him kingship, and he will never suffer the righteous to collapse. But he did not believe what he was saying. His heart set an ambush, the aim of his words having been to make certain that David would not be on guard against him. A subtle interpretation reads, cast your burden upon Hashem, let all your prayers and all your trust have as their sole aim to render honor to Hashem. Then you will be worthy of deliverance. Thus we find that Hannah's prayer was devoted solely to glorifying Hashem. According to our Chachamim, the Chachamim did not know the meaning of Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, as our Pasuk says. Rabbi Bar Chana said, one day we were walking alongside an Arab merchant while carrying a load, and he said to me, take your load and cast it upon the camel. And step, Yehovcha means your load. It is further related in the Medrash that Rabbi Chiyah the Great, Rabbi Shimon ben Rebbe, and Rabbi Shimon ben Chalaftim forgot the meaning of certain words in the Targum. Approaching an Arab merchant, they heard him say to a friend, hang this Yahav upon me. They understood that Yahav meant a burden or a load. As it says here, cast your burden, Yahavach, upon Hashem, and he will sustain you. A subtle interpretation explains that the Chachamim in the house of study did not know how exactly how Hashem would provide for them. But they knew that it says, Chumash Devorim and Hashem your God will bless you in all that you do. Subsequently, they saw how the Holy One caused generous Gentiles to provide for them, just like Zebulun provided for Yisachar. So they understood the meaning of cast your burden upon Hashem. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. V'yata lekim toridem lever shachas anshe damim unirmo lo yechatsu yemehem ani eftach boch. But you, O Hashem, will bring them down into the nethermost pit. Men of blood and deceit will not live out half their days, but as for me, I will trust in you. David pleads that Hashem bring down into the nethermost pit. The souls of these traitors should go to Gehenna. Furthermore, the bodies of these men of blood and deceit will not live out half their days. They should perish before reaching half their days. As for me, I will trust in you, that I will live out my days in full, as you have written your Torah, the number of your days I will fill. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Men of blood and deceit, although they are already old men, they see themselves as young in years, as if they had not yet lived half their days. But my thoughts are the opposite of their thoughts. I am not certain in my life whether or not it will enjoy length of days and years. I simply trust in you that you will keep me alive out of loving kindness. This also alludes to the words of Yirmiyahu, who said, so is he that gets riches and not by right. He will leave them in the midst of his days, and he will be a fool villain. A passage that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. David says, men of blood and deceit, men who violate the law will not live out half their days. They will be abandoned in their middle years. Some explain, men of blood and deceit want to kill me. They also keep saying one thing with the mouth and something else with the heart. A subtle reading of the words, Lo yechatsu yemehem, they do not divide their days into two parts, half to their merit and half to their blame, so that they might then go on to tip the scales towards merit and exoneration. Instead, they see themselves as either totally righteous or totally wicked. But as for me, I'm different. I see myself as in the middle, that I am not all perfection. Therefore, I am constantly pleading for mercy. I trust in you that I will be deemed worthy of perfecting myself. A related emphasis says, I pray to be worthy, that I will trust in you all my days. Now we go to chapter 56, Pasuk 1. Nam Natseach al Yonas Elim Vechokim le David michtam be'echaz also pelishtim begas. For the conductor upon Yonah's Elim Rechokim, the psalm of David michtam, when the plishtim seized him in Gas. David speaks about his conduct when he was seized by the plishtim in Gas. He was there, Yonah's Elim Rechokim, like a silent dove far away from Yishalayim. Some explain that he pretended to be foolish as a dove. A dove is foolish, as it says in Hosea. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. Now that we mentioned this pasuk in Hosea, the entire Sefer Hosea has been translated and put out to tape and CD if anybody would like it. When David came to Achish, king of Gath, the Plishtim wanted to seize him, protesting to Achish that he should not give refuge to the man who killed Goliath, as found in Shmuel Aleph. Thus it is that earlier David gave thanks for what happened when he saved himself from the Plishtim by having changed his mental state. And here he speaks of the time when the Plishtim demanded that he be seized. Both times he had fled from Saul's pursuit. Please turn tape over to side B. The first time David saved himself was by pretending madness. But when this time the servants of Achish said, "Is this not David, the servant of Shaul, the king of Israel, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Shaul has slain thousands when David has slain 10,000s. Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. He was forced to keep silent. The Medrash Tilim recounts that David was standing close to Achish when the brother of Goliath the Plishtim, a member of the royal guard, took hold of Achish and said to him, "Now listen to our master and king." Within this interpretation that David is referring here to that particular episode, his purpose in composing the present psalm is to call attention to a great wonder. Although he did not pray for it to happen, Hashem deprived Goliath's brother of his free will to kill David. Persecuted by Shaul at home, David was forced to flee from the Holy Land for the land of the Plishtim, and there immediately faced the gravest of dangers. He was like a dove fleeing from a hawk, escaping into the cleft of a rock for protection. It finds a snake waiting for it there. The psalm is thus called Michtam, which means a vessel or fine gold. It is a golden prayer composed by David to fortify himself and to help him overcome his troubles, an expression of his trust in Hashem that he would be raised out of nadir of affliction. A silent dove is also an allusion to the congregation of Israel in her distant exile, where she is suffering the cruelest persecutions. Some explain that David composed the present psalm when Achish asked them to join the war against Shaul. This caused them the most terrible anguish and suffering. From the one hand, he did not want to raise hand against King Shaul, despite his persecution of him. On the other hand, his refusal would be seen as an act of disloyalty to Achish, and he would be killed. So he kept silent. In the end, the princesses expressed their opposition to David's participation in the war. "Make this fellow return," a pasuk found in Shmuel Aleph. They said to Achish, and David returned to his own country. He then composed this capital tillim about his wondrous deliverance. The sages comment that this particular chapter of tillim also refers to Tamar, wife of Yehuda. Yehuda had asked Shmuel to deprive her of the tokens of identification which she had given her, in order to have her burned. Had this happened, and she had been put to death, turned into a silent dove, David would never have been born. But the archangel Gabriel intervened and brought them together. Thus, the terminal letters of
Yonis, Yud Vav Nun Tov, and Elim and Mechulkim spelled Tamar. David prays that Hashem similarly perform a miracle for him now, because he was a king and because he was innocent of all wrongdoing. Others point out that David himself is called here a silent dove, although he was beset by troubles from two sources, Shaul and the Plishtim, and Hashem seemed far away from him. Nevertheless, he was a silent dove. He did not question the ways of Hashem, how it is that on the one hand he had anointed him for kingship, and yet he was facing great dangers. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Chaneni Elikim, Kishafani Enosh, Kolayom Lochem Yuchaseni. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, for men would swallow me all day long, the warrior oppresses me. Favor me with grace, mercifully protect me, for the Plishtim would swallow me. Why was I forced to go to him? For all day long the warrior oppresses me. Shaul persecutes and pursues me all day long. He wages war against me. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Sha'afu shorerai kol hayom ki rabim lochamim li morom. They that lie in wait for me would swallow me all day, for they are many who war against me, O Most High. They peer at me with an evil eye and would swallow me all day. David turns to Hashem with a plea. They are many who war against me, and I lack the strength to destroy them. Turn to me and deliver me. It is also explained why David fled to the land of the Plishtim and thereby exposed himself to these dangers. For they are many, Shaul, Achitophel, and Doeg, who war against me in Torah matters, and their merit is very great and high. Then again, David explains why he has so many enemies. It is because they are many who war against me on high. He has many persecutors there. As the Chachamim have said, that is the evil inclination. That is the Satan, that is the angel of death. The evil inclination is the Satan, is the angel of death. All one. Pasuk Dalet. Yom Ira ani elecha eftach. In the day that I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. In the day that I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. As it says, similarly, trust in Hashem with all your heart, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. In the day that I'm afraid and do not feel myself strong enough to be victorious by my power and the might of my hand, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, I will put my trust in you to save me. Our Chachamim explain the following pasuk in a similar fashion. If you will say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? If you do so, you will not be afraid of them, but will well remember what Hashem your God did to Paro and to all the Egyptians. Pasuk 5. Be'elohim ahalel devaro be'elohim betachti lo ira mayaseh basali. In Hashem I will praise His word. In Hashem I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Even when Hashem treats me by the attribute of stern justice, Elohim, I will praise His word. I will not defy Him. In Hashem I have put my trust, that He will return to deliver me. I will not be afraid, and I will not dread. What can flesh, any man of flesh and blood, do to me? In Hashem I will praise His word, for He has promised that Hashem your God, who goes before you, He will fight for you according to all that He did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes. A pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. Therefore have I placed my trust in Him, and I will not be afraid, for what can flesh do to me? In Hashem I will praise His word. Not everyone merits to praise Hashem, only one who comes close to Him. That is to say, only in Hashem with His help I will praise His word. Similarly, David has said, O Hashem, open you my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. In Hashem I put my trust, that He would accept my remorse, and therefore I will not be afraid. What can flesh, and what can the Satan within the flesh do to me? Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Kol hayom devarai ya'atzevu olai kol machshevosom l'ra. All day they make my words sorrowful, they trouble my affairs, all their thoughts are against me for evil. All day my enemies trouble me so greatly that everything I utter is sadness and shouting. All day they trouble me because of my words of trust in Hashem. They tell me not to trust in Hashem. All day they trouble my affairs. They cause trouble for me in my reign. All day all their thoughts are about me, not for my benefit, but against me for evil, to harm me. Because all day they make my words sorrowful, and they do not relent even for an hour. Their purpose is only for evil. Hence, I do not doubt myself. I do not consider that perhaps it is true what they are saying. Even when I turn to them with the words of peace, they perceive an evil motive. All their thoughts are against me all the time. As David said in another chapter of Tillim, I am all peace, but when I speak, they are all for war. They interpret my intent to be war. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Yaguru Yispinu Hemon Akeva Yishmoru Kashekivu Nafshi. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps as they wait for my soul. My enemies come together, they conceal themselves in hidden places where they lurk. They mark my steps where and when I go as they wait for my soul. Their intention is not to rob me of my money, but to take my life. They spend nights waiting to entrap me, to send out assassins against me. David complains about the wicked of Israel who set traps for him and compelled him to flee to Achish, king of Plishtim. As found in Shmuel Aleph, they mark my steps. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Al Oven Palet Lomo Be'af Amim Horeid Elikim. For in quiddity will they be rescued, in anger bring down the nations, O Hashem. For in quiddity will they be rescued, the single ask, are they then worthy of being saved on account of their inquities? Rather bring them down in anger and fury. David HaMelech says of his enemies among the Jewish people, even if they are a vast assembly, a nation, bring them down from their height. Another interpretation says, if they persecute me for the iniquity that's in me, then rescue them, for they act in truth and faithfulness. But if in wrath, if their persecution stems entirely from their anger at me, on account of the woman having sung, Shaul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, again this is a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph, then in anger bring down the nations, O Hashem. Cast down all the Jews who pursue me. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Nodi sofarto oto simo bimosi benodecho halo besifro secho. You have counted my wanderings, put my tears into your flask, are they not in your record? You know the number of my wanderings, you have counted them. Now store them away and exact my revenge upon my enemies for having compelled me to wander. Put my tears into your flask. The singer speaks figuratively of his tears as enough water to fill a flask. Collect my tears in your flask. That is to say, preserve a record of them and do not forget them. Enter them into your record to be counted together with all my other troubles. The gate of tears has not been locked, so put my tears into your flask. Then will my enemies turn back in the day that I call. Some explain David's plea thus. If it has been decreed that I must undergo many wanderings, may the profuse number of tears I have shed in the course of my present wandering be reckoned as equivalent to the number of wanderings. He says, you have counted my wanderings, how many days I am to keep wandering. But put my tears into your flask as part of your record, and reckon the number of wanderings by the number of tears I shed. The Gemara says, said Rav Shimon ben Pazi in the name of Rav Shua ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapora, anyone who sheds tears for a man of integrity, Hashem blessed be he, counts them and places them in his treasure vault. As it says, you have counted my wanderings, put my tears into your flask, are they not in your record? This is an allusion to tears in the Torah. For Moshe wrote the final 8 psukim in the Torah scroll in tears. So, as it says, so Moshe, the servant of Hashem, died. When people weep for the passing of a man of integrity, each person weeps for a different quality that was lost by his death. Hashem examines every tear and places it in his treasure vault. As it says, the fear of Hashem is his treasure. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. He recompenses the person who shed the tear with the corresponding good quality of the deceased. If by his eulogy of the deceased, one causes others to shed tears for him, Hashem places those tears in his treasure vault and rewards him for all of them. Our sages have inferred an allusion to Hagar. Put my tears into your flask, just as you did for that owner of the flask, Hagar, as found in Chumash Brachos. As it is written in Sefer Tehillim, hear my prayer, O Hashem, and give ear to my cry. Keep not silent at my tears. You were not silent to the tears of Hagar, and to my tears you are silent. If you say that because she was a convert, she was especially beloved, so am I, for I am a stranger with you, a settler, as were all my fathers. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk 10. Oz Yashuvu Oyvai Ochor Beyom Ekro Ze Yodati Kelekim Li. Then will my enemies turn back in the day that I call. This I will know that Hashem is for me. If when my enemies see that I call in your name, they turn back out of fear, I will know that Hashem is for me. I will know that you count my tears, put them in your flask, and you answer my plea in the day that I call. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Be'elokim ahalel dover b'Hashem ahalel dover. In Hashem I will praise His word. In Hashem I will praise His word. When Hashem will execute judgment, the word Elikim is an attribute of judgment, upon my enemies I will praise His word. I will praise the word of Him who acted to fulfill my word to Him. When Hashem, attribute of loving kindness, will execute judgment upon my enemies out of compassion for me, I will praise His word that brought deliverance. The Midrash says, I will praise Hashem both for the attribute of judgment and for the attribute of loving kindness. If you judge me by the attribute of judgment, I will praise you, and if you judge me by the attribute of loving kindness, I will praise you. Our sages have said similarly that Rabbanim taught that a man is obliged to bless Hashem for the bad just as he blesses Hashem for the good. It was asked whether their intent was actually to pronounce the same blessing for the bad as for the good, namely, blessed be our Hashem, King of the world, He who is good and does good. The answer was, how can this be when it is known that for the bad one pronounces blessed be the just judge, rather the intent was that one should welcome both joyously. Said Rav Acha in the name of Rabbi Levi, how do we know this? For it says, I will sing of kindness and justice to you, O Hashem, I will sing. This is a pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. If by loving kindness I will sing, and if by judgment I will sing, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni said that it is to be inferred from the pasuk, in Hashem I will praise His word, in Hashem I will praise His word. That is to say, in Hashem I will praise His word refers to the attribute of benevolence, and Hashem I will praise His word refers to the attribute of dire events. Rav Tanchuma said that it is to be derived from the pasuk. Another pasuk is found in Sefer Tehillim, I will raise the cup of deliverance and call upon the name of Hashem. The Chachamim said that it follows from the pasuk, Hashem has given, Hashem has taken away, blessed be the name of Hashem. This is a pasuk that's found in Sefer Iyov. The substance of the matter is that the righteous have as their sole purpose the attainment of spiritual completeness. If that is to be attained through suffering, then for them that is a good thing. As David says here, in Hashem I will praise the thing. The essence of the matter is to bring about that thing, spiritual perfection. When one has the merit of accepting suffering with joy, in the end Hashem reveals to that person the good achieved by the suffering. Then he himself acclaims the measure of loving kindness and valor. And hence, in Hashem I will praise His word, in Hashem I will praise His word. Thus we find in the case of Yosef that Hashem finally revealed to him the secret of his suffering. It became clear that it had been for a good purpose. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Belekim batachti lo ira mayasa adam li. In Hashem I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The singer exclaims, in Hashem I put my trust, despite all my troubles, I will not be afraid. For what can man do to me? When they see that I have trust in you, they will be incapable of harming me. In Hashem I put my trust, I trusted you the first time when you anointed me to kingship. Then I trusted you a second time when the seer God bid me return to the land of Yehuda. Now too, therefore, I will not be afraid of my persecutors. For what can man do to me? Similarly said, Hashem is my light and my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? Hashem is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though war should rise up against me, even then I will be confident. On account of this trust, I am confident that I will be victorious in war against those who rise up against me. Measure for measure. If a man puts his trust upon Hashem rather than in men, Hashem pays him back by not letting him fall into the hand of any man. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Olai Elokim Nedorecha Ashalem Todos Loch. Your vows are upon me, O Hashem. I will pay thanksgiving offerings to you. Your vows are upon me, O Hashem, when you will deliver me. I will pay the vows that I vowed while in exile. I will pay thanksgiving offerings to you for having saved me. David was under obligation to bring two thanksgiving offerings, one for Hashem having saved his life, and the other for Hashem having saved his feet from stumbling, as we'll learn in the next pasuk. When he was in the wilderness. The latter is included in the four things that require thanksgiving. David goes on to explain that it is not for himself that he desires this, but in order to walk before Hashem in the land of the living. Again, this is another pasuk that is found in Sefer Tehillim, to have life in the world to come. It is explained in the Gemara that if one takes on the obligation to fast on account of trouble, but after the trouble has already passed, that is considered a bona fide fast. Here the Torah speaks of a future obligation. David says that if he will be saved in the future, he will pay his vows to Hashem. He will do so because a good thing will come of his being saved. He will merit to receive illumination in the light of the living. A subtle interpretation says, your vows are upon me, O Hashem. Also, after I will pay thanksgiving offerings to you. It is the way of flesh and blood that if one man performs a favor for another, the other, by thanking him, pays his debt. That is not so in relation to Hashem, since we are under obligation to give praise for each and every breath we take. Accordingly, David says, how can I repay to Hashem, when despite anything I might repay to him, all his bountiful dealings remain a debt upon me, for which I must thank him as at first. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Ki hitzaltu nashi mimoviz halo raglai midechin es halech of neilikim v'orachayim. For you have delivered my soul from death, have you not delivered my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before Hashem in the light of the living. Why is it proper that I pay thanksgiving offerings to you? For you have delivered my soul from death, nor was my soul alone saved. Through your supervision of me, have you not delivered my feet from stumbling? It may happen at times that being saved has evil consequences, but your salvation was for the good, namely, that I may walk before Hashem in the light of the living. I was meant to come back to the land of Israel, there to devote myself to matters of the soul and become worthy of attaining life in the Garden of Eden. That I might walk before Hashem is thus the emphatic opposite of my feet stumbling, and in the light of the living is the opposite of my soul death. When an ordinary individual saved thinks about resuming his business and other affairs, but a man of full heart will think of improving his deeds in order to merit eternal life. Hence David says here, you have delivered my soul from death, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before Hashem in the light of the living.
Chapter 57, Pasuk 1. Lam natzeach al tashches le David michtom bevorcho bepnei sho'ul bam ora. For the conductor, al tashches, a psalm of David michtom when he fled from Sho'ul in the cave. David composed this chapter of Tillim when he was in the depths of the cave at the time that Sho'ul came there to wash his feet, as found in Shmuel Aleph. He prayed to Hashem that Sho'ul should not destroy him, although the present chapter of Tillim, which says when he fled from Sho'ul, was composed earlier than the chapter which says when he fled from his son Absalom. The rebellion of Absalom took place much later. The other chapter Tillim was placed earlier, next to the chapter that speaks about the war of Gog and Magog. For if anyone tells you, is there a slave who rebels against his master? How can it be that Gog and Magog will rebel against Hashem? You tell him, is there a son who rebels against his father? Just as that happened, Absalom rebelled against David, so will this happen. Some say that Al-Tashches refers to a musical instrument. Therefore it is translated upon a tashchet, as if it were al tashches. This explains why tashches appears at the beginning of these chapters of Tillim. That is, the conductor is instructed that reading of these chapters of Tillim is to be accompanied on this particular instrument. The pasuk stresses of David Michtam to convey that the chapter was as delightful to David as a fine vessel of gold. The Medrash says that David alludes to Lot, who stayed in the cave and was saved. Master of the world, David exclaimed, before I entered the cave, I acted with loving kindness towards others. Now that I am confined in the cave, may be your will not to destroy. David called this psalm Al Tashches, do not destroy, because he had been close to death. Do not destroy me, O Hashem, he prayed. An alternative interpretation says, when David found himself in the cave together with Sho'ul, he could have killed him, but it was as if he heard the voice of Hashem saying to him, do not destroy the anointed of Hashem. He then composed the present michtam. It is precious to him because he was saved from harming Sho'ul. Hashem said to David, it is fitting that you compose a michtam about how Sho'ul fell into your hands and you did not kill him. By his pursuit to kill you, he had forfeited his life. By Torah law, a pursuer may be killed by anyone to save the pursuit. In a later capital Tillim, we find that was also composed while David was in the cave. He prayed for rescue. Here he prayed as well not to yield to the impulse to destroy the anointed of Hashem, which was Sho'ul. Accordingly, he called the present chapter Tillim Al Tashches. That is to say, although I am in a cave, grant me a refuge to keep him from destroying me. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Chaneini Elikim, Chaneini Kivacha, Chosoyo Nafshiu V'tzel Kondefecha Echse Ad Yavor Havos. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, favor me with grace, for in you has my soul taken refuge. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge until the calamities pass. Favor me with grace, favor me with grace, David beseech Hashem very many times. For in you has my soul taken refuge, in the shadow of your wings will I take refuge, until the calamities, the havoc, and the troubles that Sho'ul has conspired against me pass. He also prayed that the evil thoughts entertained by Sho'ul against him should pass. According to the Medrash, David prayed, favor me with grace that I should not fall into the hands of Sho'ul, for he will show me no mercy. Favor me with grace that he should not fall into my hands, lest the Yetzirah, the evil impulse, sway me and I kill him. He alludes to the impulse to kill Sho'ul as evil, for Sho'ul was not entirely to blame on account of the evil spirit that tormented him. a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Then again, the repeated favor me with grace corresponds to body and soul. Some say, favor me with grace that I should not kill him, and after I leave the cave, favor me with grace once more that he should not kill me. This prayer was answered, for Shaul then spoke to David conciliatory words as found in Shmuel Aleph. Regarding his fear that he might kill Shaul, he thus said, for in you has my soul taken refuge, and it is right that you should save me from committing this sin. Regarding his fear of being killed, he said, until calamity is past and the measure of affliction that I was meant to suffer will be completed. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Ekra le'lekim elyon lo'kel goymer olay. I will cry to Hashem Most High, to Hashem who fulfills this for me. Although I am being pursued by a king, I will cry to Hashem Most High, who is high above everyone, and he will save me from his hand. He is Hashem who fulfills his attribute of loving kindness for my sake, as he has done on my behalf time after time. Now too he will fulfill his word to me that I will reign. I now find myself confined to the bottom of a cave. From there I will cry out to Hashem Most High, and he will fulfill this good for me. I will cry to Hashem Most High, who is higher than the king pursuing me. He has already begun to help me, and so he will fulfill this. He will help me to the end. Another reading says, I will cry to Hashem Most High to save me from killing Shaul inside the cave, and Hashem will fulfill this for me, that later he will not kill me. I have concealed myself in a cave, but that is not the only thing I expected to save me. I relied on Hashem Most High, who will fulfill this for me. For my sake, the cave would remain undisturbed. The Chachamim of the Talmud have inferred from here that the ruling of a Beis Din, court of a Torah law, has the power to influence man's nature, for it has jurisdiction to determine the length of the calendar month and the length of the calendar year. David was certain that the words of Shmuel, when anointing him for kingship, would be fulfilled. Just as the edicts of a Beis Din are fulfilled, Hashem would complete what he had begun. We will continue, Mr. Shem, in our next year, as we are almost at the end of the tape. Here. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary Ma'amalois, Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 28. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah be also a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 55, Pasuk 11. Yomom v'layla yisobavuha al chomoseha v'oven v'omel v'kibur. Day and night they go around about her upon her walls. Inquity and trouble are in her midst. From where he stood outside the city, the singer describes the excess of evil in the city, both inside the people and outside. This was not just a temporary condition, but day and night they go around about her walls. Violence and strife are round about the city day and night. There is inquity and trouble in the midst of her, in the hearts of those who dwell inside her and conspire evil against me. David is also referring more literally to the watchmen of the city. Day and night they patrol the walls around about the city to guard against external dangers. But in fact, inquity and trouble are in her midst and destroy her from the inside. Some explain that the singer compares the violence and strife to a lion that encircles the city. Day and night they go around about her walls. The inquity and trouble are likened to the point at the center. They are in her midst. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Havois bekirbo v'lo yomis bechovo tochu mirmo. Wickedness, havoc is in her midst, oppression and fraud do not depart from her open spaces, streets. In her midst is havoc and a terrible state. The falsehood and guile they counsel against me do not depart from her streets. Some oppressors will claim that the injustice and iniquity they perpetuate is for the good of the city, but these cannot make this claim. Since havoc is in her midst, falsehood and guile do not depart from her streets. When the masses on the street see what the elite do, they do the same. Thus, he says, wickedness is in her midst. On the part of those individuals, so oppression and fraud on the part of the people do not depart from her streets. Another interpretation says, although the wickedness is within these people, this does not mean that it should also appear in public, but oppression and fraud be in the streets of the city. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Kilo oyev yecharfeni ve'esol lo misani olai higdil ve'sosir mimenu. For it was not an enemy that taunted me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it my adversary that magnified himself against me, then I would have hidden myself from him. King David goes back to speak of Achitophel. It was not an enemy that taunted me. Achitophel had been David's chief advisor and had loved him all his days until he betrayed him. If my enemies had taunted me, I could have borne it. David says, for the taunts of a normal enemy can be borne. If an open enemy had magnified himself against me, I would have been able to hide from him and be on guard. It is otherwise for a hidden enemy like Achitophel. David addresses Achitophel, you may ask, why am I so angry? After all, I forgave Ben-Gerah who vilified me, so why do I not forgive you? My answer is that you were not an enemy like Shimi Ben-Gerah who taunted me. That I could bear. Neither were you an adversary like Saul from whom I hid. There is the folk saying, it is harder to bear being pierced by the needle of a false beloved friend than being pierced by the lance of an enemy. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. V'ato enosh ke'erki alufi miudoi, but it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and guide, and my familiar friend. Achitophel, at first you were an ordinary man, until I elevated you to become my equal. Then I even called you my companion and guide and my familiar friend. This came about when we took sweet counsel together. Whenever I had a question about any matter in the Torah, I would come to you for consultation. Nor did I come because you were the only one there. Indeed, in the house of God, we walked together with the throng. There were many sages in the house of study. I deliberately sought you out in order to raise your esteem in the eyes of the Jewish people. Our sages infer from the present pasuk that if one has learned from another person a single chapter of the Torah, or one law, or a single verse, or a single commandment, or even one letter, he's obliged to honor him. Thus we find that even though, as the Talmud says, King David learned from Achitophel only two things, he nonetheless referred to him as his master, his companion and guide, his familiar friend, draw the evident conclusion. If David, the king of Israel, so honored Achitophel, although he learned only two things from him, then most assuredly when an ordinary person learns from another one chapter or one halacha or one pasuk or one commandment or even one letter, he should certainly honor him. Honor means Torah. It says the wise will inherit honor. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Rabbi Yochanan said, at the outset, David called Achitophel his master. Then he called him his friend, and in the end he called him his student. Thus, he says here, but it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my guide, and my familiar friend. For one, he was his teacher. Then it says, we took sweet counsel together. He was his friend. Finally, he says about him, yes, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread. Bread is a euphemism for Torah. Spiritual nourishment. In other words, Achitophel was his student. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Asher yachtov namtik sol beveis elikim nahalech the Rogesh. We took sweet counsel together in the house of God. We walked with the throng. We would confer with one another. I revealed to you my secret, but I did not understand. By your advice, the secret became sweet and clear in my eyes. My bond to you was so deep that even in the house of God, we walked together as a team. The plain meaning of these pesukim is that David relates the story of their friendship. In the beginning, Achitophel was a man my equal. They were both in Saul's army. David was the commander of 1,000 men, and so was Achitophel. Moreover, he was my familiar friend, a kinsman. On the side of David's wife, Michal, some say, to Bathsheba, and we took sweet counsel together. There was no quarrel between us. On the contrary, we shared secrets, and in the house of Hashem, we walked with the strong together. But now you have turned about to become my persecutor. A subtle interpretation says, David said to Achitophel, why is your hatred of me so great? Did we not take sweet counsel together on secret things? One who occupies himself with the secrets of the Torah must be meticulous in the observance of even the stringencies of the mitzvahs, and he must excel in humility. How, moreover, in the house of Hashem, we walked with the throng. Before every prayer, one should resolve to practice the commandment to love your fellow as yourself. Pasuk is found in Chumash Vayikra. It is indicated that when there is sweetness and closeness between one man and another in matters of the spirit, it is well to keep this private secret. When one goes to the house of Hashem to disseminate Torah teaching, this should be done passionately and in a loud voice. Then Satan will not interfere and there will be no affliction. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Yisimos Alemo Yerdu Shol Chayim Ki Ro'os Bimgurom Bekirbam. May he incite death against them, let them go down alive into the nether world. The pit for evil is in their dwelling and within them. May Hashem incite the angel of death against them. In a related sense, let death be a creditor to take away their souls. Another interpretation says, may they go down alive into the nether world in a way that will make them forget death. Some say, may Hashem cause death to turn everything upside down, bring about ruin and desolation. Others read, Yisimos as Yosimovith, may Hashem cause death to come upon them. Let them go down alive into the nether world, that is, die suddenly. They should not be forewarned by prior illness. For evil is in their dwelling and within them. They gather in their homes in Shalim to discuss the evil that's in their thoughts. It's also possible to interpret Bimgurum as when they are gathered, as in catch them in their net, Yegorchu Behormo, a pasuk that's found in Habakkuk. In their gatherings they plot evil against me. Then again David says, if an enemy would taunt me, I would answer him. I do not hide when an adversary magnifies himself against me. That is my way with my foes and adversaries. It is otherwise concerning Achitophel. He was a man, my equal, my companion and my and guide and my familiar friend. I will not come out against him. Instead, I will ask Hashem to punish him and his followers. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Two Talmidei Chachamim who live in the same city are not forthcoming with one another in matters of halacha. One dies and the other is exiled. Accordingly, David said to Achitophel, if I am also to blame for this quarrel between us, I have already suffered exile. As of now, therefore, you have been condemned to die. So let them go down alive in the nether world, as happened to Korach and his band, who contended against Moshe. However, the truth is that their intention was to incite against Hashem. As Moshe said to the Jews on another occasion, your murmurings are not against us, but against Hashem. Similarly, David says here, for evil is in their dwelling and within them. It is within them to contend against Hashem, but they conceal it. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17. Ani El Elakim Ekra Vashem Yoshieni. As for me, I will call upon Hashem, and Hashem will deliver me. Although they are many, and I am one, I will call upon Hashem, and Hashem will save me from their hands. He calls upon Hashem to punish them by the attribute of stern judgment, and to show him compassion by the attribute of mercy. Because the righteous turn the attribute of stern judgment into the attribute of mercy, David says, as for me, I will call upon Hashem.
Hashem is judge, the attribute of judgment, and Hashem, the attribute of mercy, will deliver me. Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk 18. Erev v'voikir v'tzohoroyim osicho v'ema v'yishma koli. Evening and morning and at noonday I pray and cry aloud, and He has heard my voice. At the different times set aside for prayer, evening, morning, and noon, men see the day change. When at these times I pray and cry aloud to Hashem, He has already heard my voice. David speaks as if by prophetic knowledge. Our sages infer from here that a person must pray three times daily. These prayers, each at its own time, were established by those men of world stature, our Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham said the morning prayer, Yitzchak said the noonday prayer, and Yaakov said the evening prayer. Thus David says, because the Avos have established these prayers at the evening and morning and at noon, I pray. In figurative language, David conveys that he prayed in the evening, in times of darkness and affliction. He prayed in the morning in the time of for deliverance, and he prayed at noonday. That is during the deliverance itself, which is likened to noon, as it says in Yeshayahu, then will your light rise in darkness. The term ahema generally means to produce a subdued sound. It is thus indicated that one should arrange one's prayers to himself beforehand in a subdued voice, and then proceed to pray. As David says, I pray and say in a whisper, and as a result, He has heard my voice. The Medrash says further, let our masters instruct us, how many prayers must one pray each day? Our sages have taught that one is not to pray more than the three prayers established by the Avos. It says in the book of Daniel that he would pray three times daily, as found in Sefer Daniel, but he does not say at what times he prayed. But David has already explained that evening and morning and at noonday I will pray and cry out, and He has heard my voice. Hence, one is not permitted to pray more than three prayers in one day. Rabbi Yochanan explained this only if only a man could continue to pray all day long. So even though it's only proper to say three prayers a day, Rabbi Yochanan said it would be great if people could daven all day long. There's a story about the Emperor Antonius and Rebbe. How about offering a prayer every hour? Asked Antonius. That's forbidden, Rebbe replied. Why? Lest the man come to act with disrespect towards Hashem. But Antonius did not accept this answer. What did the saintly Rebbe Yehuda do? Early the next morning, he presented himself before the emperor. Hail the gracious one, he greeted him. An hour later, he again entered. O emperor, when another hour passed, he greeted him again. Peace unto you, O king. And Antonius retorted, why are you ridiculing the royal throne? Let your ears heed what your mouth is saying, Rebbe explained. Here you are, a man of flesh and blood, yet you find it insulting when greeted every hour. How much more so that no man should inconvenience the King of Kings every hour. Rebbe Yosef ben Chalafta says, there are set times for prayer, as it says, but as for me, let my prayer be to you in an acceptable time. What is an acceptable time? When the congregation prays, therefore a man should rise early for prayer, for there is nothing greater than prayer. Thus the word Vahama, as an apostrophe, Amen, is numerically equal to 57, an allusion to 3 times 19. The Shmoneser prayer, repeated three times each day, contains the 18 benedictions plus the benediction against the heretics. So really it's 19, so 19 times 3 is 57. The singular form of the Pasuk alludes to the teaching that even if one prays by himself during these three times, he is answered, for the congregation also prays at those times. The Medrash Tilim says here, a man of flesh and blood has a friend who loves him. He goes to him the first time and the friend welcomes him. He goes to him a second time and the friend acknowledges him. He goes a third time and the friend ignores him. Hashem, blessed be He, is different. Each time you impose upon Him, He welcomes your burden. Therefore, cast your burden upon Hashem and He will sustain you. This matter is hinted to and in the present pasuk. Although I cry aloud to Hashem evening and morning and the noonday, I pray and moan, He has heard my voice. Some say that David speaks in the singular form to indicate that when a man is at peace with everyone, he's reckoned with as if he were many. Thus he goes, or to say literally, for the many were with me. That the prayers were set at three different times accords with